Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, August the 8th, 2013. Hope the week's gone well for you as we look forward to a big Friday. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday. We're here from 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. It's a very strong station. In other words, you can pick this station up just about anywhere in southern Arizona. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We podcast to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com also have the podcast. That means you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, really. And thanks to the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, gvnews.com. They have the program prominently displayed on their homepage with a link, also a link at blogforarizona.com. Today's show will lead off with Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres, Ward 5 Tucson Council member. Then at 12:30, we'll talk with Arizona Corporation Commissioner Gary Pierce. Is solar energy still the way to go here in Arizona? Some interesting things to talk with Commissioner Pierce about. Then we'll close out the show with our consumer affairs contributor, Tom Collier. Have some questions about Rural Metro now declaring bankruptcy or going into the Chapter 13 filing. So we'll hear from Tom. What's it mean for those of us who are members of Rural Metro and depend upon them for our emergency services? If you have a comment or question, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Or you can post a question, and we invite your participation on Facebook, where we have a very active presence promoting the show every day, let you know what's going on with the Buckmaster Show. Just visit Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Ward 5 Councilmember Richard Fimbres to the Buckmaster Show. Richard, Councilman, congratulations. 35 years, you and Mary just celebrating a big wedding anniversary.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you for the congratulations. Yeah, we took your advice, Bill, and went over to Silver City, New Mexico.
Oh, good.
For our anniversary, and we spent time over at the Little Toad Creek Inn. Very beautiful area and very beautiful hotel. The people were so friendly. Teresa and David, who owned that place, really went out of their way to make us feel at home. And I'll tell you, it's a gorgeous area. We also hiked the Gila Cliff dwellings there. Lots of history there for our Native American community, and the people are so friendly in that area. I was amazed.
Yeah, everybody I send over there, they love it over in Silver City, and we have a lot of big supporters over there. And Little Toad Creek Inn, of course, they're one of our sponsors too, the whole city and county, Grant County sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, and it's a really great place to get away. And I always tell people right now, after the summer rains, it's so pretty in the Gila Wilderness.
Yes.
They have a great...
The greens are so beautiful, the running creeks, the vegetation and the wildlife. We had just missed a hummingbird migration festival that was there that weekend, and there were still lots of hummingbirds buzzing around the inn there, and it was beautiful. My wife took some beautiful pictures of the different breeds of hummingbirds.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you had a good time, and they have a great micro brewery over there in Silver City too, so it's perfect for a relaxing drink after a nice hike. Well,
exactly.
The city council, let's talk about city business. You had a really busy agenda. I think this was probably one of the busiest agendas you've had of the year, wasn't it, this week?
Yes. During the summer, we usually meet one time a month during the month of July and August, and so there were lots of issues on the agenda for August. And the Ward 1 Council Office presented its plan for the Joaquin Murrieta Park, and which will go before the Pima County Bond Committee for consideration as a possible project if a bond measure is approved. We had some good news from Mary Davis over at the Tucson International Airport. more people are using the Tucson airport, according to her, who gave a presentation also. Juan Padres, the city's international economic development coordinator, gave us an update on the on his efforts and also talked about the recent trip that Mayor Rothschild and a coalition of business people went down to talk to our brothers and sisters across the borders about how we can explore growth in that area. More than $1 billion is spent annually in the Tucson region by tourism.
I was going to ask you also, the item that made the news this week was the city declaring war on these errant shopping carts. Can you give us the bottom line? What's the deal with this?
Well, what we did on Tuesday was voted to schedule a public hearing on a proposed ordinance dealing with abandoned shopping carts, which, as proposed, would have the businesses assessed a fee of $30 per abandoned cart. So my office has been receiving lots of phone calls and emails on this issue. So this is an issue that a committee came together with about 6 months ago, the retail community, the business community, and the neighborhoods to come forward with this. And I know that Ward 1 has brought this forward. So we're going to look at it, we're going to vet it, and see what we need to do. And if we have to tweak it, we're going to do that. But I think that for safety issues, there's been abandoned carts being left in washes and rolled out into the streets. So that's a danger in itself. So we also need to look at holding people accountable. People that utilize the carts, take them off the premises, need to return them when they can.
Richard Fimbres is with us, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat in Ward number 5. 790-2040, 790-2040. The councilman would be happy to entertain your comments or questions. In your most recent newsletter, the City of Tucson Ward 5 newsletter, you summarize things by saying that your economic work is beginning to pay off, and we are seeing light at the end of the economic tunnel that we've been in for the past 5 years. You want to summarize for us why are things looking up, in your opinion, Councilman?
Well, I think that if you look at just what's going on in Ward 5, I call it the renaissance of Ward 5, the south side. What's exciting is now over at the Bridges Project, there's 23,000 square feet of retail being built, in addition to what the Costco and the Walmart that are already in those areas. So that's encouraging. The stores at the Bridges Project, as well as Curacao and others, are doing very well, generating sales tax revenues. Businesses such as Cade Industries have expanded their operations, while others such as Brooker Nano and APAC Pharmaceutical continue to go very strong in Ward 5. Bill, more than 1,100 jobs have been created in Ward 5 alone. You know, you can go from Accelerate Technology, American Tire, Distributors, Inc., APAC Pharmaceutical, Brooker Nano Industries, Cade Industries, that has 70 new jobs, Costco, that was 150 new jobs, Curacao was 200 new jobs, Don Pedro is even Peruvian Bistro, that's 12 new jobs, Goodwill Stores, with the work that we did on the Certificate of Occupancy, they've opened up a total of 4 new stores in Ward 5, which equates to about 70 new jobs. Perfection Industries has 20 new jobs with the expansion that they were able. Even Barrio Brewery, Dennis Arnold's folks, have expanded in their area, and that's 12 new jobs that they're bringing on board. We even got dollar stores, General Dollar and Family Dollar, to a total of 3, which equates to 50 new jobs. So things are happening. I even talked about the quick trips. They were going to build like 33 in Pima County. The first 2 that they built were in Ward 5. So these are things that are exciting. Bill, we even got our own In-N-Out Burger now.
So these are
positive things, and yeah, it shows that you know, people say we need to put people to work, but we're trying to do the best we can to get that done, because we're still not out of this economic downturn. Ever since I've been in office since 2009, all I've known is negative budgets. You know, when I was sworn in on December 7th, December 15th, they told us we had a $33.5 million budget deficit. Then it went to $44 million. Then it went to $55 million. And preliminary last year, they told us it could be $35 and $40 million. But because of the work of the mayor and council, it actually came down to $20 million. And this year, 2014, we're looking at a $15 million budget deficit. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but we still need to keep moving forward. The city of Tucson lives off sales tax. We need the business community because they generate that for us. So those are things. The county has property taxes. The city lives off sales tax. So we need to continue to generate working with our partners in the business community.
All right. Let's see if we can squeeze Renee in on the Buckmaster Show live line before we take our first break here on the Thursday show. Renee has a question for Councilman Richard Fimbrace. Go ahead, Renee.
Thank you, Bill. The good councilman suggested that those who take the carts off the premise should return them when they can. And I'd like a little clarification. I'm a retired police officer, and why should the merchant be punished if the cart is removed from the premise? That's a theft.
Well, that's the way the policy, Renee, reads right now, the ordinance. So we're going to, we voted to move this forward to a public hearing so that we can hear from everybody in our community about this issue. And I'm pretty sure that the business community and some of the concerns they have are going to be brought forward with this so that we can look at this thing and see if we need, where we need to tweak it and make it happen so it works.
Okay, so right now there's nothing set in stone on
this.
No,
it's just the proposal has been brought forward. A public hearing is what we approved, and it's going to come forward to us, and then we're going to make a decision after we hear from the good citizens of Tucson.
Okay, Renee, so if you're still listening, and I hope you are, I would suggest going to the public hearing when that is set and definitely weighing in on this subject. Rose, should we let's take the first break right here. The councilman has agreed, and thank you for sticking around for another segment. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back. 12:20 on our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. City Councilman Richard Fimbres, representing Ward 5 on the council, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Back to the live line now, and here is Terry with a comment or question for the councilman. Go ahead, Terry. Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing okay. Fine.
I want to thank, I'm not in Richard's district, but I want to thank him because that's part of leadership, whether you're city council and you're District 5, I believe, or any
yes,
other.
Sir.
Yes, sir. And Richard, and we all need jobs out here, obviously, and you came up to the table and provided leadership. Families, doesn't matter where you live in the city, Tucson, we all want to thrive and make sure our kids are well protected in the streets, and not only that, but to have jobs and meaningful jobs. And you delivered, sir. Thank you, Richard. God bless.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for your comments.
The council has a collective black eye, I think that would be safe to say, over this Grand Canyon University dust-up that left the college councilman without an opportunity to build a campus on the Rio Nuevo golf course property. How do we move forward after this?
Well, I think that the Grand Canyon College, I think that from the more you listen, they chose Mesa at this point. And what it did do is bring a lot of business people together to showcase other areas for the 110 acres that they're going to need. And Grand Canyon has said, maybe this is not the site selection for this time around, but that Tucson is still being consideration for future expansions. And I think that we'll be better ready for the future. And we have to be very cognizant of what we're doing. You know, I ran on clear transparency, and we remember the Slim Fast issue about 5-6 years ago, and the issue with that, and then they left town immediately and left. The city holding up millions of dollars and stuff that we had committed to.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Those are things that we got to be very cognizant of. And, we don't have a lot of tax dollars that we can throw away. We got to be very frugal with those and stretch the few dollars we have. And the good thing about this incident is that the county and the city have also looked at and located some co-located some land that they could look at that is meaningful to all of us and will benefit all the citizens in Pima County.
All right, Richard Fimbres with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. We had a caller who did not want to go on the air, but I will gladly relay this caller's question, and I read this off the computer screen. The question is, what's the status of the Cherrybell Postal Processing Center?
Wow. We still got a bill in the hopper, Bill, and but it's in the works. It's gone through a couple committees. There may be a second bill coming out of the Senate, and so it's not totally dead yet, and hopefully we'll continue to move forward on this and get it done. I'm pretty sure our national elected officers have been really staying on top of this for us, and so and also the Postal Service labor groups have really been fighting for this thing, because that's going to impact 26,000 small businesses. And some of the nonprofits that really utilize this service, plus our seniors and our military. And I tell you, this also affects a lot of the users from Fort Huachuca and DM. And so we got to be very cognizant of what we're doing with this thing. And I hope Senator Flake and Senator McCain continue to fight this battle along with Congressmen Grijalva, Pastor, Barber, Ann Kirkpatrick, and Kristen Sinema have been all coming to bat for us.
Yeah, and I don't speak for all of the postal carriers, but I do know a few of them, and luckily for us, a lot of them actually listen to this program, and the local guys here in Tucson are not happy with the mail going up to Phoenix, so they're on our side on this issue, Councilman.
I think that lots of people have finally realized the impact it's going to have on us, and the H.R. 2748, which was introduced by Congressman Daryl Issa, is still alive and moving forward. So we just got to keep people pushing this this message out. And then Senator Thomas Carper, as the chair of the Homeland Security and Government Committee in the Senate, is also forthcoming with his bill. So I think we're gaining momentum because people realize that we're not in, not everybody's in the new technology age where they don't rely on snail mail, and especially our seniors. And we have lots of seniors in our community that still require their pension checks to come in, their medications to be delivered. The same thing with our soldiers abroad and in our facilities here in the country.
You do have an opponent. You are standing for re-election in the upcoming election. Mike Pollack is running against you as a Republican. And one of the issues Mike is going to hit you on is the economic issue. But you feel... You were articulating the jobs brought in. What do you feel your strongest suit is right now when it comes to this election?
I think if you look at the where we've been with this economic downturn and the deficits that this city has maintained and moved forward with the work that we need to do, we put Rio Nuevo, the big controversy of Rio Nuevo, is hopefully behind us completely. We have the Rio Nuevo board and us coming together. The first plan is the TCC in Mission Gardens, and they're investing, $6.1 million into the TCC and $7.1 million into the Mission Gardens. So we're moving forward. We have to learn to crawl together before we can walk and run together. So things are happening. We don't have the economic deficit that we had when we first started this, when I first came into this office. So things are moving forward. I think our economy is getting stronger. But you got to remember the economy tanked not only in this city but the whole nation, and we've stayed forward. We haven't filed bankruptcy. We haven't laid off massive police and fire or other city employees. Yes, we're a leaner workforce. We're 1,100 employees less, but I think we've been moving forward with the few city staff we do have.
How about this World War II memorial? How is that coming here in Tucson?
Well, you know... That's been an eight-year project. That was started by my predecessor, Steve Leal, and Mr. Gilbert Quintanilla and his family, who had this vision to honor the World War II veterans that served from the city of Tucson. And he went out and started raising the money. Steve Leal got the state legislature to kick in and match the money that he put together from his council office. And I'll tell you, come October, November, we will have the World War II Memorial erected in Armory Park. And it's been a long time in coming, but it's going to be a shrine that our World War II veterans and all our military personnel and our community can be very proud of. Mr. Quintanilla had a vision, and we want to make sure that vision continues to come through to a reality.
Well, that's wonderful that we can honor our World War II veterans. Former Mayor Miller's name comes to mind. But there's so many, of course, here in the Tucson area.
George was a great veteran for us, and he's also was very instrumental in helping put this thing together.
Yeah, Mayor Miller, a veteran of the Marines, Pacific Campaign, wounded on the island of that bloody campaign on Saipan. But we thank all of our veterans for their service to this country. We're going to have to wrap this up, but speaking of veterans, the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system, they did approve, I guess, a Fisher House for Tucson?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yes, Sharon, they're still asking for additional donations. So we posted that in our newsletter and the address. So if you veterans out there or you good citizens that want to help our veterans, I recommend that you make a donation.
Okay, Councilman Richard Fimbres, thank you for spending a half an hour with us.
Thanks,
and
Bill.
My listeners. And again, congratulations on your 35th wedding anniversary. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye. All right, Richard Fimbres with us on the Buckmaster Show. Still a lot to come on this this noon hour. We're going to talk with Arizona Corporation Commissioner Gary Pierce. Corporation Commission doesn't get enough publicity, but really this is the group that regulates the rates for many of our basic necessities, including water, electricity, and natural gas. We'll have that interview with ACC Commissioner Gary Pierce right after the break.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Two friends of the suspected Boston Marathon bomber have been indicted on obstruction conspiracy charges. If convicted, they could face up to 20 years in prison. A U.S. military expert on al-Qaeda says the terrorist group could have used the classified information disclosed by Bradley Manning to plan attacks on U.S. forces. A spokesman for the firefighting effort says any progress that's being made against a wildfire in a rugged Southern California mountain range is being erased by the fire's rapid expansion. In any event, the fire is now about 10% contained, according to authorities. Updating Wall Street, the Dow trading about 37 points higher now, and the NASDAQ Composite Index is up 16, and the S&P 7 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Thursday afternoon here in Tucson, Arizona. The Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. We'll be questioning Mr. Carroll, myself, and Dan Shear, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun editor, with Ray Carroll tomorrow at 12:04. Arizona Corporation Commission is so important to the state and doesn't really get a lot of publicity, but the ACC regulates the rates of many of the basic necessities, including water, electricity, and natural gas. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Gary Pierce. Mr. Pierce, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, one of the board members. Gary, Commissioner, how are you today?
Doing well, Bill. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. Let's talk a little bit about solar energy, Gary Pierce.
Sure.
Is solar turning out to be the powerhouse industry that the state of Arizona had hoped for a few years ago?
Well, I think solar has increased so dramatically in Arizona that I think it's gone beyond what many people originally thought when the commission established the renewable energy standard in late 2006. So, yes, I think I think solar is here to stay. I think the biggest issue we have is establishing the proper mix between the other fuel sources we have to make sure we stabilize rates while we're increasing the amount of solar and other renewable energy that we have in the portfolio.
By 2025, regulated utilities in this state will be required to get at least 15% of their electricity from renewable sources. How are those utilities doing at this point?
Oh, they're beyond the objectives at this point. I will cover Arizona Public Service up in the, because Arizona Public Service has includes almost all the counties, and they're going to be at 12%. It's 15% by 2025, but they're going to be at 12% in a couple of years, and so really, it's looking at how far do we go beyond 15%. As we grow as a state, remember 15% becomes 15% of a larger number of megawatts, so it's more and more generation, even though you might be at 15%, it's a lot of generation. But I think it'll be greater than 15% as we move along. And part of that is, Bill, is if we need new generation and solar becomes more and more reliable, right now it's an intermittent source, we will find that solar is going to be the cheapest thing to build in small utility-scale projects, 25 megawatts, because you can't build a natural gas facility at 25 megawatts. You're going to build 500 megawatts. So solar is going to be a big part of the future in Arizona. And and when the storage issue gets resolved, it's going to be a game changer for Arizona.
How do you meter solar? Is that an issue, the net metering for solar power?
On rooftop, the net metering is simply a way to pay individuals for the excess solar power, the excess electrons they're generating that they don't use. And the debate right now is simply, what's that fair number? Those who don't have solar don't want to pay their neighbor too much for that power, and those who have it want to make sure they're getting the fair number. And that's what the debate's about. And it's been pretty hairy up in the valley, but it's one that the commission looks to resolve here in the next 60 days or so.
Gary Pierce is with us. Mr. Pierce, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, he is on the board of the ACC. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim is with us. Jim Kelly, I believe. Jim, go ahead. You're with the commissioner.
Thank you, Bill. Gary, it's good to talk to you again. Listen, what's the...
what's the number, do we know, in regards to how much we've spent on solar and how much wattage we're getting out of that dollar as compared to the same amount of money if we'd have just gone with natural gas and coal? And I mean on a per watt hour, per kilowatt, per kilowatt.
Right, and that's not something that's easy to determine in that we started down this road with solar when it was more expensive, and now it's relatively less. For instance, we can build on a utility scale, we can build solar photovoltaic for around 7 to 8 cents a kilowatt hour. You can't do that with new generation for either nuclear, natural gas even. It will be tough if you were to build it new. Now, we do have supply with natural gas. So what we're trying to do, because we know that solar is popular with most Arizonans, I mean, it's significantly high. Nearly 80% of Arizonans want more green energy, more solar. And if that being the case, we're trying to balance that so that people don't really feel it significantly as in their bills. And we know the more solar we have to be prepared to back that up with probably natural gas as a backup. So the combination of natural gas and solar is pretty good. Plus, there's a wind project that TEP is doing, just began out in Wilcox, which is a purchase power agreement, which will add to the later in the evening and nighttime load that is there. So the overall balance, we just want to keep the kilowatt hour charges pretty stable as we go along. And then we need to look at each of these projects and what's going on in rooftops and how much we're giving for net metering, that in the end, as we do rate cases, it's not ticking up people's bills. And that's been my primary focus, is looking at what the net effect is in people's power bills.
Gary Pierce with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Pierce, an Arizona Corporation Commissioner. What about your own political future right now, Gary? Can you kind of bring us up to date?
Well, Bill, and I'm glad to be able to talk to you, because I don't know that I'll ever officially be able to talk to you as a candidate again. It's something I had been considering. There are different things that had been on the radar, but about a month ago now, one legislator who represents a district up in the valley decided to open an exploratory for Secretary of State, and that happens to be my son. And with that happening, I kind of think there might be a little bit of overload for people to have two of us around like that to vote for on a significant level. And so I'm 61 now. I'm all for the younger generation that have experience and talent to take off with that. So I'm perfectly happy to help others.
So you have no plans to run for governor or anything else at this point?
I'm not going to say I'm not going to do something, but uh-huh. At the moment, the family, we looked at this and think it's probably wise for me to not plan on doing anything at this point.
Okay, let's go back to the live line now. And Joe has a question. I believe it's concerning natural gas and fracking. Go ahead,
sure.
Joe.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? I appreciate the discussion here. Mm-hmm. This is kind of in response to Jim Kelly, and it is the fact that the undisclosed aspects of fracking solution, it's the next bailout waiting to happen, because everybody else is thinking about profits and this mythical cheap gas that never seems to come around here. I just paid $3.38 a gallon, and this is in the supposed boom time. It's not happening, because it gets traded on a world level. It doesn't just favor Tucson or Arizona, for that matter. But the next bailout that's waiting to happen is for us to clean that fracking solution out of our drinking water. And tainted, that kind of taint, it's not good for cattle production, it's not good for cotton production, it's not good for food production, and it's unexplored. And I wish the corporation, you guys, the corporation, pardon me for forgetting your title, but I wish you guys would use some of your weight to really delve into this this secret dark world of, this proprietary protected fracking solution. It's
okay.
Not fair to the public. So how do you feel about that?
Thanks, Joe. Let's hear from Gary Pierce on that.
And I think everybody probably understands this pretty well, that we certainly have philosophical leanings on any of these technologies. But for the Commission, we are simply the economic regulators for these investor-owned utilities, the monopolies. And that's where we focus. And so by us telling them what they make, that dictates what rates are going to be. And so that's my primary focus. Natural gas, because they've proven up, natural gas is going to be a relative cheap supply, I think, for a number of years. And we have the gas power plants, and we have the pipelines to supply them, to not run into shortage in the coming years. It could be an issue, and some people think it may be, Bill, if we were to restructure, which is the deregulation issue, which the Commission's having a discussion about right now, because there will be an issue about who builds generation in the future, and that has to be resolved. The states that are looking, that have restructured retail markets in their states, are finding that there's no real motivation for people to add new generation. And as you have growth, you will have less and less electrons to sell. And that's what drives costs up and prices up, the old supply-demand. Right now we have plenty of supply. But if, in fact, no one wants to build new generation or repair old plants, that'll become an issue that in Arizona we have to resolve that one if we're ever going to restructure. But we're counting on natural gas as a source in the future, and they've proved up tremendous supplies of natural gas. I'm not sure just what the consequences are of fracking. I'm not a doomsayer when it comes to fracking.
Okay, Gary Pierce, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with my listeners here in Southern Arizona. Always good to talk to you. Have a great afternoon.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Gary Pierce of the Arizona Corporation Commission. Next up, Tom Collier, our Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. What does this rural metro bankruptcy thing mean to our customers of rural metro here in Southern Arizona? Tom will address that when we continue on the Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake!
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We started off the show with Councilman Richard Fimbrace giving a nice testimonial. He went over to Silver City to celebrate his 35th wedding anniversary and stayed over at Little Toad Creek Inn. We send so many people here from the Buckmaster Show over to Silver City. It's only three and a half hours, depending on where you are in the Tucson area, over to Silver City, and it's beautiful over there right now. 15 degrees cooler on average than Tucson, and everything is greened up so beautifully in the Gila National Wilderness. So a great place to get away. Many nice places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. He's with us now on the live line. How are you, Tom?
Hey, bro. I'm not in Silver City, but I wish I were. If you hear the dog start barking in the background, it means that UPS is delivering my Amazon purchases.
Oh, and that's why you couldn't be with us in studio. You had a very important arrival coming in.
I'll let you believe that.
Okay. Hey, Tom, being a rural metro client, member, I guess you would say.
I think we both are.
Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned with the bankruptcy filing. Should I be?
Not necessarily, not really at this point. As customers rather than creditors of Rural Metro, we're kind of in the driver's seat. Chapter 11 bankruptcy is a way that a company can get its creditors and their demands for payment off its back briefly under court supervision while they continue to operate sort of semi-normally, but a lot of times under the supervision of the court. They have to get a judge's permission to, you know, pay bonuses or to buy large capital acquisitions or something like that. Rural Metro is a national company. It's not just Southern Arizona. It's traded on the stock exchange. So it's a big company. The bankruptcy is giving it time to work itself out with its whatever its financial problems happen to be. And as customers know, it doesn't really mean much of a problem. But there are two Rural Metros here that you need to be concerned with. There's Rural Metro Fire Protection Service, which is one company, and then there's a separate subsidiary that provides the ambulance service. If you subscribe to that, there's a separate charge for that in addition to the fire protection service. It's interesting when you have a commercial provider of this type of service like we have, and they cover a lot of Arizona. There's a lot of sections up in Maricopa County where they have a large rural population that doesn't have a fire department, a municipal fire department. It's quite a large company, quite a significant employer in our state. But, you know, what happens, this is the argument that these types of services should be farmed out to the private sector could be talked about when you have a bankruptcy of a company like this.
Yeah, and earlier at the beginning of the program, I misspoke my chapters. I think I referred to it as a chapter 13, and I got a
no,
little bit.
Well, it's the same thing, except chapter 13 is for individuals.
Oh.
Chapter 13 is for people. Chapter 11 is for companies, for corporations. And if you're really, really ultra concerned about this, one of the things you could possibly look at, and I don't know whether people would be interested in this, but there is an alternative. If you live in an area without an incorporated fire department or an incorporated city that doesn't provide this, or even a volunteer fire department, I'm going to ask you a civics question. What is the lowest level of elective government in Arizona?
Lowest level.
It's not the school board. It's even below that. I'll give you the answer. It's the special improvement district.
Oh.
So you can have fire districts. For example, we have the Northwest Fire District in Greater Tucson, in the northwest area of Tucson. What that is a group of people who've gotten together, held an election, agreed to tax themselves at a specific rate, elected a board to govern that organization and set the tax rate, and then provide their own fire service.
Okay, thank you for that one.
That's a special improvement district as opposed to a private corporation like Rural Metro.
Tom Collier with us, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. We continue to hear, Tom, people complaining about the worsening customer service. They are sent routinely offshore, whether it's the Philippines, India, or some other place, and people just really feel they're just not getting good customer service these days.
That's attributable, I think, in part to a concept called market segmentation. And I was reading a couple of days ago, and this is what prompted me to think about market segmentation, that about stores that are using their surveillance technology that you normally think. You see the cameras up in the little, dark bulb in the ceiling that are supposedly to deter shoplifters.
Mm-hmm.
There are some stores now that are starting to install face recognition technology in their security cameras so that they will be alerted when someone famous is shopping in the store. I'm serious. I'm serious about that. Or whether a big spender, a person who is renowned as spending a lot of money in their store regularly, happens to be in. And the reason for that is that's the ultimate in market segmentation. To give you the nickel tour of market segmentation, it means that you pay the most attention to the people who generate you the most money.
Mm.
And the airline travel clubs, with the lounges and the cards and the points and the free miles and things like that, are the classic example of market segmentation. The business traveler who has to get out very suddenly and pay the highest fare is very often on a flight next to somebody who's going to visit the grandkids, who flies once a year and paid, huge discount for the seat. The business traveler, and I know this from personal experience, pays $1,800 for the ticket to get out there quickly to be able to do business. The grandma flying to see the grandkids paid $300.
Mm-hmm.
Same ticket, same flight, next to each other sometimes, arrives at the same time at the same airport, but that's the difference. The business traveler makes them more money, so they get more care, more attention, more service, usually when there's a problem. The individual who's pretty much run-of-the-mill or who actually causes problems is going to get the online, log online service and, be sent to somebody in India or the Philippines. You're going to get somebody who is identified as a real moneymaker and a consistent moneymaker for the company is going to get more personal service. And this is something that's scalable. I mean, you can scale it down to the local Hallmark card shop if you want, or to your business, if you happen to have a business. Who makes you the most money? Because those are the ones who need the greatest TLC in terms of customer service. That's not to say that the customers who don't make you a lot of money shouldn't get good customer service. That's just logical. That's just good business practice. Because when people start getting bad customer service, that's when word of mouth starts to degrade your reputation as a provider of customer service.
Hey, Tom, I've got less than a minute, but how do you get better customer service without necessarily being the big, big spender?
Be nice. I'm serious.
You're right. I think
be nice. Be
that's
nice.
Right.
Be courteous. You see the bumper stickers around, or Ben's Bells. I'll mention one of the great things here in Tucson. The little green stickers. Be kind. That's how you do it.
Okay, Tom Collier, always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
I hope you get that delivery very soon.
Well, I'm sure the dog will alert me when the doorbell rings.
Thanks a lot, Tom Collier.
Thanks, Bill. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tom with us on the Buckmaster Show once a month. Tom's among 24 or 5, somewhere around there, 24 contributors regularly to this program, and the full list of our contributors, along with their bio and picture, is located on our website, buckmastershow.com. And, of course, we have all of our programs archived, really, since day one. Yeah, day one, since we've been doing the show. So going back to January of 2011. Wow. A lot of shows, Rose, that we've got already archived on the Buckmaster Show website, buckmastershow.com. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. I know they're listening, and I want to say thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs, we appreciate the fact that Culligan supplies a bottle, a nice cool bottle of Culligan water to all of our in-studio guests and all of the employees here at KVOI. Also appreciate it very much. John C. Scott Show this afternoon. John is the Dean of Local Talk. He'll be here from 3 to 5 in this very studio. Then Wake Up Tucson Friday edition, Chris and Joe 6 to 8, and then the Buckmaster Show with Ray Carroll as our Friday Focus interview and our Reporters Roundtable. And Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, that's the Friday edition tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.